Not much. How's it going, Griff? How you doing, buddy? Griff?
Good, Rog. Been better, but I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
There you go.
About the same, you know. You're right, Tony. This team was weird, you know. That was a tough loss. You know, a tough one. That was a tough one again. That was a... The team was really weird, Tony. You're right. It's been a weird season. It's been the same thing for every year, you know, for the airport, it's been a weird year.
Yeah, it's...
Up and down, the thing has been, I guess that's part of being young, you have up and down, I guess what it is.
Mark, is that, do we attribute that to, was today's game youth, Mark? Today's loss?
I think at this time of the year, Tony, you got to throw youth out.
Okay.
I mean, people can talk about hitting the wall.
Right.
And I do believe in hitting a wall.
Yeah.
As a team as a whole. But the youth part, I don't buy in as much now because they played what 20 something games now.
Yeah.
They've been playing, you know, since the fall. And I don't buy the youth excuse if that is ever to be used now, because the team's had experience of being in these situations where they realize that they can overcome adversity. They've been on the wrong side of the coin as far as pulling off a close victory. So I just think that they just have to come together as a team and get buy-in from all five players. And I don't think tonight we had buy-in from all five that were on the court because Frazier was going crazy on us.
The other thing is, you know, within seasons, teams have runs where they play their best basketball, and then they have runs where they don't, and then they have runs where it's something in between. Because basketball is a complete sport of runs. It just is. I mean, you games connect. 4-minute segments can connect. Like we saw tonight with what happened with Frazier when he went off. But I want to make a point here, guys. Missouri has been absolute dog dirt the entire time. And right now, they're on a roll. Missouri beat Vanderbilt today, Mark, 72-52. And I would like somebody to please explain that to me. I would like somebody to explain that to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Missouri has a rec league basketball team. And they smashed Vandy's face in.
Yeah. You're right, Tony.
College basketball.
You got to play your best at every game.
That's right. It's not like football.
Thing, you know?
It's not like football where you overpower people. It's what's different about that game. You still have to execute. It's why March Madness is so interesting, Mark. It's why a 13 can push a 4 around. You know, when you watch what happens annually in that tournament, it's why 12s beat 5s. It's not football. It's not the biggest, strongest, fastest. It's the team that executes or the team that gets the other one to play their game. Missouri beating Vanderbilt today, guys, is a damn embarrassment. Yeah. That's what that is.
Yeah, you're right, Tony. And it comes back to matchups, too. You know, you talk about the tournament. You get certain matchups that you can execute, take advantage of in a scouting report, someone's deficiency, and every team has some sort of deficiency, and you take advantage of that. Like you said, you execute on a day where another team doesn't play well offensively, but then takes off defensively, which you can't afford.
Yep.
And that's what I think happened tonight with Tennessee, is you can't take off defensively, and I think that's what got us beat. Or we'd be talking more about Grant Williams right now.
And the matchups, by the way, Ole Miss with Tennessee is another one. I mean, we match up so poorly with them. I hope to God we don't see them in that SEC tournament, because I'm going to tell you something. They'll beat us. We're not beating them.
Wow.
I'm convinced of that. I do not want Ole Miss. Mark, do you want Ole Miss in that tournament?
I'm a big fan of Saiz.
Yes.
How you pronounce it. And once again, we talked about
I don't want him.
Execution. That Ole Miss went away. We talked about this last time we were on the air.
That's right.
They went away from Saiz, and I guarantee you the next time Coach Kennedy won't go away from him when they play Tennessee. And they don't match up against him at all. He just overpowers our team inside.
Yeah. They did what we did today.
Yeah.
They did what we did. I mean, they looked
against the strength.
We looked bizarre. We looked just out of sorts down the stretch in that game. Rog, anything else for us? We get another call in.
Yes, I know Coach Pesci next. I guess, how do you if you Tennessee next, make Kentucky, how do you prepare for that game now? It's tough to play at first. So how do you prepare for that game now?
Thank you. Hey, Raj. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better, buddy. God bless you, man.
You too, Tony. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you, brother. Mark, with Kentucky, what do you do if you're Tennessee? Because we did some things in that game that worked first time around.
Yep.
Tony Jones's words the other night when I said, are you kidding me? And he said, Tennessee go up there and win. He said, why can't they? Georgia had them beat up there. Alabama went into that building today and lost 67-58. It isn't like Kentucky. This is not like Kentucky's blowing the league out like they did a couple years ago. This is not one of their quote-unquote great Cal teams. This is not a middle-of-the-road experiment. It's better than most of college basketball, but they're certainly beatable Tuesday night. I mean, I can say that without people laughing at me.
They are if they don't play defense, and that's one of the critical things that Tennessee really exposed Kentucky last time was the guards were able to blow by Kentucky's guards, and you didn't have that sound defensive effort from a Kentucky team. Now, Kentucky offensively is incredible.
They are,
but defensively, if they show that they have some time periods where they don't play as hard or 40 minutes. And I think a lot of that comes down to the scouting aspect.
Yep.
So I think if Tennessee's guards can blow by Kentucky and maybe get one of their guards in foul trouble and get pronounce his name correctly, but we'll call him Bam. If they can get Bam in foul trouble, I think Tennessee has a shot. But if UT goes up to Kentucky and all their starters are sitting on two fouls with 4 minutes left, I think it's going to be a long night for Tennessee. But if we can get Bam in foul trouble and get the ball into Williams, let him go to work on Bam, I think Tennessee will be able to play competitively against Kentucky. It's a very tough place to play. Didn't have any success when I was at UT beating Kentucky at Rupp. The fan base there is incredible. But they are beatable, but I think it's going to take a great effort to really get the ball inside to Williams like they did tonight and really work him the ball. And then we're going to have a better effort as far as execution from Hubs than we got tonight as well.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm sitting around looking at that Kentucky game a little bit and picking guitar. And I got to be honest with you. Kentucky's not – I mean, the eyeball test, they're good. They're not great. They're just not. They're good. I mean, in this league, they're the second best team in this league. Who's number one? Florida's number one. Florida's the best team in this league. Florida. Regal Mike White's done a pretty nice job. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Florida's the best team in the league right now. And by the way, so those three scores are in. Florida today beats A&M. They're 10-2 in the league as well as Kentucky. And Griff, Auburn right now is up 52-37 on Ole Miss. Now you go and figure that out. Go and figure that out for me. You go ahead and figure that out. I'm gonna go back to the phones. 865-200-5402 is our number again. 865-200-5402. On a night where Tennessee, well, how do you put it? They threw one away. Lose a 14-point lead. And is it one that'll stay with Tennessee? Will we look back on this game and say, this was a turning point? Can it be a turning point to something bad? Can it be a turning point towards something good? I know one thing. Every time we've seen one of these games happen, Tennessee's had some kind of run happen, one way or the other. And that's how this team is. They've defied logic all year. I mean, they were picked, 13th in the league? Let's get our next call in on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
What's up, Tony?
Hey, welcome in.
This is Judd in Jeff City.
Judd, great to hear from you, man. Thank you.
Hey, of course, Griff stole my thunder there about Lamonte Turner, about his about his defense. I was going to call him the same thing. But, you know, one player I thought had a good game that's kind of lost in the loss itself is Kyle the Giraffe Alexander. I was pleasantly surprised with his offensive rebounding, his gamemanship. And I kind of wrote the guy off at the beginning of the year. Like, he just ain't ever going to become amount to anything, really. But I tell you what, when I was watching him in the game this evening, I was pleasantly surprised with what I saw with his hustle, and I'm so kind of surprised he didn't get more minutes than he did. What did you think?
I want to tout and pump up a guy who's not here right now to tout himself, and Tony Jones, who told Mark Griffin and myself about 3 weeks ago that if it were him, Kyle Alexander plays more on this basketball team. And he said for two reasons. He said, for one, I like him, and I think if he'll get longer stretches, he'll do more good things. The second thing he told us, Griff, was you got to find out what you have in him. And now's a great opportunity to do that. And I want to look at his line here, and you guys tell me if this sounds like a solid line. He plays 22 minutes tonight in the game. He has 9 boards in his 20 minutes. He has 6 points, and he's 3 of 7 from the field. Now, he didn't get to the foul line, but of his 9 boards, 2 of them were on the offensive end. One of them kept a possession alive that resulted in a 3-pointer. Kyle Alexander played really well tonight and should have played more in tonight's basketball game. I agree with that.
He was pleasantly surprising to me.
Yes, he was very active. He was very engaged. He was very active. He looked like a solid big man tonight. Mark, your thoughts on Alexander's game?
No, I agree with both of you. I was really pleased with Alexander and surprised he didn't get a little bit more time at the end of the game as well because of his production. And I like the way he runs the court. I mean, the guy's athletic, and obviously he's got to get a little stronger, and some of his shots, you know, it'd be nice to maybe do a ball fake every now and again to get the guy up and then jump into the defender, which he seems just to go straight up on his shot without jumping into his player. If anything, he falls backwards, which he's got to work on. But I'm pleased with his progress. I think they coach him with kid's gloves as well. He's a little bit more emotional type player. You don't see Coach Barnes yell at him as much when he comes off the court like he does his guards. I think he just has to coach him individually as far as improvement. But it'll be interesting to see his matchup against Kentucky and if he gets more minutes there as well.
Yeah.
Tony, one other thing. Of course, you'd have way more connections than I would have. But over about the past, now that we're in the spot that we're in, and I continue to hear people say, well, if we do this, we do that, we're going to need to win one, we're going to need to win two games in the conference tournament. Over about the past decade, I've heard people that were actually on the selection committee, 2 in person, 1 across the radio waves.
Yes.
All 3 say the same comment, that conference tournaments play 0 factor into the NCAA tournament selection committee unless a team that was not in gets an automatic bid by winning their tournament, then they bump somebody out that was already in. So I don't know if you've... That's 3 people that's on the selection committee over about the past 10 years I've talked to. Could you comment on the fact of why we continue to hear that over and over?
Well, for one thing, they want you to go to the SEC tournament. They want you to pay attention. That's one. The SEC tournaments are, I mean, these conference tournaments, by and large, are useless, okay? But every once in a while, I mean, in the small leagues, in the one-bid leagues, obviously, it's the whole season, which I hate, by the way, but it's a system they have, and so be it. As far as Tennessee and going to Nashville and maybe being on the line, and because you'll hear a lot of that conversation, I think they will take for a back of the field team. When you're talking about that first 4 up there that they play, I think that you going into a conference tournament and doing well could help you there. It can't hurt you. But what continues to confound me about that whole selection process is no one truly knows what the criteria is from year to year. It slides from year to year. It shifts from year to year. 1 year it's your schedule. Next year it's total wins. Then it's your schedule. And then you're back to this. And South Carolina gets left at home last year with 24 wins. And, you know, so I hear what you're saying. Here's the other thing that bothers me about this conversation. Everybody, I hear talk about this and see talk about it and my friends and this, and I try to stop them, is they go, you know, if we can just get to this number of wins, we'll be in. To which I reply, how do you know that? I mean, in a vacuum, sure. If you and I are playing in the same division, and I know I've got to get a couple wins above you to get in, then I'm in. Otherwise, all you're doing is grasping at straws. So people tell me, well, if we get to 18 wins, I mean, we're in. I mean, based on what? I mean, if we get to 18 wins, how do we know somebody across the country isn't going to, three teams right now aren't going to rattle off 9-game winning streaks? How do we know that? Do you see what I'm saying? So all this is just, it's talk. And as Mark said, it's kind of fun. Because to be honest with you, I didn't think we were making the NIT tournament when the season started, when we played Chattanooga. I don't know about you. I looked at that team and I thought, they're going to be lucky to win 10 games.
Yeah, I was with you there. That's exactly what I thought at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I thought this thing was going to run off the rails.
And the only thing I think Barnes, I was kind of disappointed he didn't try this evening.
Right.
Was, unless I missed it, I don't think Quay Parker played a minute. And as athletic as he is, I would have told him, your job is to go in there and just absolutely frustrate the heck out of Frazier. I mean, just get in his grill, and I don't care if you – I don't care what you do, but, man, you're athletic. Get in there and just frustrate the guy. And unless I miss something, I don't think he even played a minute this day.
No, he's going to be a future Harlem Globetrotter.
Yep.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
He's, you know, Quay Parker reminds me of a little bit of that Daryl Wilson kid, Mark, from our day. Remember him?
Oh, yes. He had cancer.
He what?
He had cancer back in the day.
Did he really? No, you're thinking of Milson. Yeah. I'm talking about the Wilson kid that was from Memphis.
That
could jump.
No question.
Could dunk and played with the Globetrotters. Do you remember the...
Yes, he hit his teeth on the rim. Yeah. That's what he was known for.
He hit his teeth on the rim?
He visited Tennessee. Michael Wilson.
Michael Wilson.
UT recruited him, and it was one of his final schools. He ended up going to Memphis State at the time.
He hit
his teeth in the rim.
Are you kidding me?
No, I know that for sure because of my Memphis ties. Yep.
He could jump that high, he hit his teeth on the rim?
Yes, that's true.
Mark, tonight, Tennessee led in the game 23 minutes and 53 seconds to Georgia's 9 minutes plus. That kills you, man. It kills you. All right, let me, on the way out here, Griff, I'd like a final thought from you. We put 80 minutes up tonight. After that game, and you know, I'm not going to beat on our guys for losing tonight. I'm not going to beat on the coaches. It would have been a game that would have been nice to have. They played really well, and sometimes you tip your cap to your opponent. And Georgia hadn't beaten anybody all year, and I mean, hell, Georgia couldn't win. They couldn't win a game of tiddlywinks right now, and somehow they, in the last 5 minutes, they managed the game, and we didn't. And that's the deal. Mark, give me a final thought here on the way out. It's been great being with you.
Oh, it's been great, Tony, as well. And I, as a fan, really love the game and love Frazier's performance overall as a fan of the game.
Yep.
Still perplexed on why we didn't have a different strategy to contain him. But I'm not going to sit here and get on the coaches because I know they were coaching their butt off to try to win this game. It was just the way the dice rolled today that it was just an excellent performance by this particular player. I've not seen a game in a while where one person wills a team to victory like I was able to see tonight. Usually you have several performers that are involved, but tonight it was the one-man show, and using the boxing analogy by Frazier, we just got knocked out. I mean, he just knocked us out tonight.
Yeah, it was like down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Except it wasn't Frazier that went down, it was us.
That's it.
Well, Griff, you're my main man. I love you, brother.
Love you too, Tony. Have a good one. Hope you feel better.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Appreciate that. And all the well wishes as well. All the well wishers as well. I really do appreciate that. I've had a lot of people give me some nice comments here. And I really do, I really do appreciate them, and I appreciate my radio family for pitching in. Sean Sinclair this week, the Vol Colonel for working extra hard for us behind the scenes. Appreciate Orange Throat for keeping me up. I had to call him today. I've been out of contact with him. I'll tell you, it's been a loopy couple of weeks for me, and it's been kind of hard. But, you know, I realize there are people listening to me that have real illnesses. I've kind of lost my ability to walk for now, but I'll get that back. And I've fallen down a flight of stairs or two, but it's nothing real major. What do I want to say? I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. And, you know, when you get kind of a health scare, as I have here this last couple of weeks, and then you look around and you consider that, a great guy like Jeff Jacoby's no longer with us, and you see a Mickey Dearstone get terminated with not even a watch on the way out the door. Just totally disrespect him. It really makes you appreciate, when you're me, how special our relationship is. And I realize that I get on people's nerves and can do that from time to time, but I want you to know how much I appreciate the opportunity to do this, and it's been an interesting Saturday being with you. We'll be back with you on Monday when from 11 to 1, and Bino's going to have you for a good bit of that. I've got to get to the doctor, thank God. And then Tuesday, when Tennessee and Kentucky go final, we'll be with you right here. So one thing I'd like to encourage you to do, well, we have a couple calls. Let's get a couple more calls in here. I'll do that. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Yo, what's good, dude?
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess you stick around long enough and you get that. I don't even know where to start with that. Let's get our next caller in. 865-200. I'm not going to take calls. What am I doing? What in the world am I doing? What in the world am I doing? Why did I do that? I don't know. I do want to wish Keith Hatfield I want to wish Keith Hatfield to get well sooner. I want to wish Keith Hatfield get well sooner. So Hatfield's been under the weather. Let's go back to the well one more time against my better angels, my better wishes. Hello and welcome into our next caller. This is against my better judgment. Hello to our next caller. Yeah, that's my point. Anyway, so bottom line is appreciate the time, appreciate the opportunity. Great being with you. And really appreciate what we have here. You know, look, I'm going to tell you something. I made a decision. Well, I was kind of forced into it. But I made a decision. Ah, my man is here. Is this my man, Tony Jones? Hey. Is this my man, Tony Jones?
What's going on, Tony B?
Because you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a good man down. Tony Jones, when you're up 14 points in your building, and you have a guy, and I've said this to you many times this year, now you chosen most of your adult life to make, and you've been blessed enough, because a lot of guys fight to get into that business and don't get anywhere, but you've been blessed enough to be at the top of the game, the top of the profession, for the number one team in America, the Volunteers, and you were there, when the flagpole, and you were a millisecond from the Final Four. Not that I want to go through all that, But Tony, I'm watching the game of college basketball, and I'm watching a Tennessee team today only turn the ball over 5 times. And I'm watching a Tennessee team that did enough things today to win 3 games. And they get out of there with a loss because J.J. Frazier put on a damn show. Now, how, when you're breaking the video down of this game, how do you make sense of that? How do you, what do you guys do when you're looking at a game like this? Your team did what you wanted them to do.
Well, I mean, in this league, the SEC, you know, sometimes, you know, players, can supersede what, their teammates, can contribute. And I've said it all week that Georgia has 2 of the top 10 players in the league in J.J. Frazier and Yante Mayton. I said that on Holding Court yesterday with co-hosting with Ryan Hartman, who did a fantastic job, and we had a great, he had a great show lined up with Steve Forbes and Greg Ramsey and Georgia beat writer Pat Bradley, prolific three-point shooter and former UT and head coach of Santa Clara, Kerry Keating. You have to.
What was your, what was your, hey Tony, what was your guess? My guest list yesterday was Bino. What the hell? Who's Brian Hartman working for?
And you know what? People have been texting me and Forbes and Keating text me. Say, man, you know, you did those interviews, man, like you've been working for 10 years in the business. I said, I learned from the best in Tony Basilio. You know, that's my mentor in the broadcasting game. But, you know, really, Tony, you shouldn't lose a 14-point lead in the second half. I think when Mark Fox got the technical, and, you know, I've already discussed the mentality of the officials in the SEC. When you get a technical, that plays on the referee's conscience, and then they start making calls for you. That's just the way it goes in the SEC. That's just the way it goes. But you have to be able to stop J.J. Frazier. And the game came down to the last 5 minutes. I mean, when Yante Mayton fouls out, you should win that basketball game. Just didn't make plays at the end, and Georgia did.
Tell you what about Mayton. Tony, not only did they get that technical foul called on them, but then Mayton, that's a phantom fifth foul. That wasn't even a close call or a 50-50 call. That was a 90-10 call. That was actually a no call, is what that was. It's not even a foul. I mean, you look at it and you go, and I'm sitting there going, I'm thinking at that point, well, the game's over. And as it turns out, and this is just how weird this week has been for Tennessee, as it turns out, that was a blessing in disguise for Georgia, getting him off the floor. It's weird, man.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you made a statement that, you know, it's the game we shouldn't have lost, and it is. But how many times have we said during this very exciting season of Tennessee basketball, it's been exciting, that we shouldn't have won?
That's right.
We stole it.
That's right. We said it Wednesday. We said it Wednesday against Ole Miss. Ole Miss, the game you had no business winning. This is a game you had no business losing.
Exactly. Exactly right. And this is a game you had no business losing. Mississippi State is a game you have no business losing down in Starkville. Ole Miss, a game you had no business losing in Oxford. It's going to be that way. And you never know. And like I've said over the last week or so, Tennessee can go down to Kentucky. They can go to Lexington and win that game on Tuesday night.
Now, people are going to hear you say that. And I'm on some blog material here. I want you to tell me why Tennessee can go to Lexington and win that game. I need some blog material here. And by the way, Bino Jeff Henderson just looked it up. Mm-hmm. You guys were pretty successful there in your tenure, okay? At Lexington.
Right.
Ray Mears was pretty successful in his time in Knoxville. And then outside of that, it has been a virtual black hole, okay? It's been like the Bermuda Triangle. Now, the great Beano Jeff says, the Vols have won 5 times at Corrupt Arena since it opened in 1977. 5 times like in 40 that. Years in Corrupt Arena, Tony.
I like that. I may use that on my TV show tomorrow night.
Go for
Corrupt
it.
Corrupt Arena.
Corrupt Arena.
Wow. It's a tough place to win. The fans are Rapid fans. Obviously, the history of Kentucky basketball. Their record speaks for itself. They have a talented team, but they're not a good team, Tony. They're talented, but they're not a elite team. They're not Gonzaga. They're not Kansas. They're not Duke, and they're not North Carolina. That's a team that will make the NCAA tournament, and that's a team that could be having a first or second round exit also. Tennessee knows that they can beat them. They beat them here in Knoxville. They controlled the game. They have some ingredients that Kentucky can't stop. Grant Williams. We're going to have to get a supreme senior-type performance from Robert Hubbs for us to be able to pull it off. But we're capable because Kentucky is just not that invincible team this year. They're young. They don't have very much depth. I think they're mentally weak. They're a team that could be had in Lexington. Georgia should have beat them. And Tennessee should have beat Georgia. So, come on. Throw those variables together,
yeah,
and it could equal a Tennessee win Tuesday night.
The problem, the thing about this league right now is this league is a damn three-ring circus. I mean, night in and night out. Anybody bets on this league doesn't like their money because there can't be a lot of good. There can't be a lot of good hits out there in this league right now. Auburn,
listen to this. Listen
go ahead.
To this.
Go ahead.
I mean, you know, I talked on the radio show yesterday,
yeah,
that I think Kentucky, South Carolina, and Florida are locks. I think Florida is the best team in the league.
Great.
But then you throw in the middle of the pack, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, and then what about Auburn?
They're coming. But here's the deal, Tone. They had a 20-point lead, 7:54 to go in the second half. You better flick that SEC Network on it. 65-60 right now. They've scored eight. Auburn had 47. Well, Auburn was up 47-27, Tone, at the half, okay?
Right.
They've scored 18 points in the second half. Ole Miss has scored 33 points in 13 minutes. They're going off. And it's now 65-60 at the 7:54 mark at the TV timeout.
So and who's leading?
Auburn is up 6, but it's indicative of what's going on in this league so far this year. Look, Missouri today, you explain this to me, okay? Missouri has probably one of the worst teams ever assembled in the history of this conference is what they've got out
bad
there right
talent,
now.
Bad talent. Bad
no
talent
in
Columbia.
They got no talent. I mean, they got my talent. They got no talent. Anyway, they beat Vanderbilt today 72-52. Now, I say to you, should that ever happen?
That should never happen.
Never.
Should Mike Anderson take a talented Arkansas team
into
Columbia and lose?
Wow.
And then lose again to Vanderbilt?
Wow.
You know, so the league is topsy-turvy in the middle of the pack. That's why I say, and I'm still consistent with this fact, that only 3 teams from the SEC will get to the NCAA tournament. And Tennessee, unless they beat Kentucky at Kentucky, unless they beat South Carolina at South Carolina, I think we'll be looking at the NIT.
You know, I think you might be right, and I think it's kind of hard to argue with that. Although the one thing this could play into Tennessee, and the reason Tennessee would have a shot versus any of those other middle teams, Tone, that you just talked about, is that brutal schedule they played. Maybe they reward them if they can get through.
I've been there and done that, Tony. I did the scheduling.
Right. You were great at that. You were great at that.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, you're right.
I did the scheduling for every
college basketball program I've ever been a part of.
Yeah.
That's 20 some odd years.
Yeah.
And at Tennessee, we had the philosophy to play the best, but when you play the best, you gotta win too.
Yeah.
We played North Carolina, we didn't win. We played Gonzaga, we didn't win. We played Wisconsin, we didn't win. We played Oregon, we didn't win. Okay, great schedule, good RPI number, but you didn't win the game. Now you're 14-11, you're 500 in a mediocre conference. I'm just keeping it real, like T. Jones Live does. And, we just gotta pull off, hey, if we want to get to the NCAA tournament, let's beat Kentucky and Lexington. If we want to get to the NCAA tournament, let's beat South Carolina and Columbia. It's as simple as that.
We've won 5 times in 40 years in Corrupt Arena. I mean, what the hell? Tony, one night, I think they beat us by 41, 51, 61 points. One night it was, that was night of a blizzard. I'm going to go back to the phones. If you want to get in with us, the great Tony Jones is here. And I want to thank my friends at Smartway and also your Garza Law Firm. So Smartway, thank you. Marcos Garza, thank you, man, for your well wishes and for all you do for our radio family and for all you do for our community as well. Your contributions to my friends at Fish Pantry and some other things that you do on a day when Tennessee loses. Tone, in your days in Thompson Bowling Arena, was there an opponent that had a day similar to what Frazier did today? We were trying to jog our memories. You were there for the Jody Meeks. Wasn't that your era when Jody Meeks came in here and went off? Tone? Did Meeks have, Tone's distracted right now.
Go ahead.
Was that your era when Jody Meeks had, I want to say 59 in our building? Was that you?
Man, why did you want to bring?
No, I'm just asking you. Because I'm talking about Frazier's second half performance today, and we were just trying to put it in perspective. Meeks had a great performance. Chris Jackson one time had 50 in that building. And I think Houston had 49. I mean, those two guys just went crazy with each other. College basketball had such great scores in it at one time. Marshall Henderson had a great game in here a couple years ago. We were talking about that. But the Meeks game, you got to feel helpless. Tennessee had to feel helpless today, right?
I felt helpless on sitting on the bench.
There you go.
Lit us up for those points. It was 55. It was a 5-5 spot. And he was unconscious. He was in fuego. And when you got a guy shooting like that, the ball looks like it's going into an ocean. what we should have ran Duke Cruz or Wayne Chisholm and at him and gave him a hard foul and let him see the bruise after that hard foul, and then he would have been thinking another thing coming when he's taking those shots. But I'm telling you, J.J. Frazier is a great player. He's been a great player. I mean, when I was at Auburn 2 years ago, I mean, he came into Auburn Arena and scorched us up, and they beat us.
He's a cocky kid, too, Tone.
They list him as 5'10". He ain't no more than 5'8". I shook his hand. I stood next to him. I said, "You little so and so." But he is a competitor. He's a guy that's very talented, and I know players and I know this league, and I've said it before and I'll say it again. He's one of the top 10 players in the league, and he hurt Tennessee immensely tonight.
You know, the most interesting thing about what happened tonight in that game, and you mentioned the Meeks game, and I'm glad you said that, because Mark Griffin was saying, you know, they had some old school guys in that building tonight, some champions. They had the 67 guys were in there tonight, and they had guys from the 77 team that were in there tonight. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing to celebrate your past.
I'm wondering.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering when they're gonna bring back that Elite 8 team that was one free throw away from the Final Four.
When's the 10-year anniversary of that, Tone?
That was in 2010. So we still got a long time to go. We still got 3 years.
You're coming back. You're coming back. Tone, here's my thing about the what we saw tonight. And it's hard for me to comprehend this. You tell me. At some point, when Frazier is driving around your guards at will, okay, and I'm talking about at will. This is the second game in a row, by the way, this has happened. And we were all kind of wondering, was it a defensive design to funnel the guards of Ole Miss into Tennessee's pressure? And sometimes that's the case. Tonight was not the case. Tonight was a child abuse is what it was. I mean, let's just call it what it was. Tonight was abuse. Tonight was a man abusing some young kids. On that end, don't you at some point, and I don't know, because you were saying you guys should have, doesn't somebody at some point say, hey, knock him down? I mean, we can't let him score like that.
In some instances, you know, obviously you got to stay within the confines of sportsmanship. But, you know, you try and get a little bit more physical with him. You maybe run a player and a half at him. You guard him with a player and then half another player that's kind of, tilting towards his side to try and get it out of his hand. That's the mentality that some coaches utilize. And then, you know, you gotta make other people beat you. You gotta make the other members of the Georgia Bulldogs team beat you. And, when J.J. Frazier or Yonte Maton is not putting up numbers, that team has struggled to win basketball games. But, you know, we allowed J.J. to get to spots on the floor, to get into a comfort zone, and to see, the basket when he shouldn't have been able to see the basket, to receive the ball off reversals when maybe he should have been denied. Maybe to run another guy at him to get the ball out of his hands. We just didn't do that. And Georgia, deserved the victory. I mean, they came back from a 14-point deficit. And, you know, they took a 5-6 point lead late in the game.
Yeah, it was over.
It was a game that, that we had in our back pocket. And then we, had the script flipped on us and us trying to get back in the game and them trying to hold us off. But, Georgia never let Tennessee head us in the last 5 minutes.
It was a total reversal of the Ole Miss game is what it was. And it was a week where truly the way Tennessee played, they deserved to go 1-for-2.
Mm-hmm.
And they went 1-for-2. I mean, they that's the weird thing about that sport is inevitably that sport is gonna give you what it's gonna give you. And at the end of the year, you're pretty much gonna have the record that your team deserves to have. By and large, right? Wouldn't you say? I mean, that's just kind of...
How many times have we heard the metaphor and the statement, you are what your record says you are. And we're 6-6 in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Tony?
Correct.
We're 14-11 overall.
Correct.
We are what the record says we are. We're an average SEC team. We're an average team overall. However, there's still a lot of basketball.
Absolutely.
That we play.
Absolutely.
And if we can come and kind of shake off this disappointing loss and come up with a big win. Not only a big win for this team, but a big win for the program and a big win for the fan base and a big win for all the players that ever played at Tennessee. If we could go down to Lexington and knock them off, then the enthusiasm will be revisited.
Well, and that's the deal. You know, people think that you and I are in science fiction right now. I saw what, hey, listen, I watched Kentucky today. Tony, when they're not doing it on the offensive end, they don't play defense.
They don't.
Play defense. They're not. This team here is. You talk about those people up there think they're going to make a run in March. This team here, they have that Kentucky team will be lucky, and I mean lucky, to get to the Sweet 16. I mean lucky.
They will be lucky to get to the Sweet 16, but I'm saying it right now. I'm projecting it. Kentucky will get knocked out in the first or second round because they are a talented team, and I use that word. Talented, but they're not a great team. They're a talented team, but they're not a great team, and they'll get knocked off within the first or second round, and we can revisit that fact at a later date.
Well, you're right, because the class of the league is Florida, and the second best team in the league is South Carolina.
No question.
Period. And Kentucky's third.
No question.
And those people,
right.
And I've got some people hating on me online, and, you know, the Kentucky fans are they're sick with this stuff, and they don't want to hear that, but they're knowledgeable enough to know. This is not. Hey, sometimes when he makes the cake with all his crazy recipes he uses, sometimes he comes up with a great cake. Sometimes the thing's unedible. Sometimes the thing tastes like I baked it, you know? And this year,
right.
It's an okay cake. I mean, it's missing a few ingredients. And Tone, I'm going to tell you something. If Monk's not hitting those outside shots, they don't play defense. They're very beatable, especially the way we play with Williams.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that concerns me. You go into that building with our guards, and it turns into a turnover fest. Now, today,
right.
Tony, today we lost a game. Like I said, we won.
Five
turnovers, and none by the guards, Tone. None by the guards. Zero. You can't lose that game, man. You cannot lose that basketball game.
Not at home and not against a 4-7 team that's in the league.
Mm.
And you're 6-5 and
it's a gut punch.
And the prognosticators are saying last four in. And some people are saying first four out. So, I mean, it's either or.
Yep.
Come on now. Come on. We can't lose that game.
Tony, I got a youngster that wants to join us up next here on your Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime. As Tony Jones has, I looked up on that thing, and he's blessed us with a phone call, so we're going a little extra time here tonight. Marky Boy Griffin did a great job holding it down. Keith Hatfield remains under the weather. Keith, I want to encourage you to get well, my friend. And,
get well, Keith.
Take all your shots, babe. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, welcome in. Thank you for being there.
Yeah, so I was watching our last game, and while, last second of the game, I was shoving a big black dildo on my...
Some young kid. That's good. That means people are finding your show. I want that young man to know that I have caller ID. I want that young man to know that when I get back to walking and when I can take 10 steps without falling, I will find you and I will beat your ass. So, thank you.
Woo-hoo! Hey, Tony B, they don't know you from Philly.
I want that kid to know something. Hey kid, don't bring that on my time. Okay? You think you know crazy. You don't know crazy, kid. You better leave me alone. I give everybody one mistake. You got one. Somebody else had one earlier.
Don't worry, kid.
My finish move's the figure four leg lock, and I'll snap yours right off.
Yeah, and the thing is, they don't know that you've been a fan and a historian of big time wrestling. And you know, if you get close, you gonna put him in the sheep's headlock.
Exactly.
When you put somebody's in the sheep's headlock, they go to sleep.
And the sheik used to tell me what the sheik would do is he'd grab the cheese grater, him and Abdul the butcher, and they'd grate each other's foreheads. Hey, Tone, on the way out.
Yes.
Appreciate your time. tell the living listener who presented you tonight.
I appreciate it, and I look forward to Tuesday. It's going to be a special night Tuesday. I think it's going to be, oh, my goodness, Ole Miss 80, Auburn 76 with 56 seconds to go.
I mean, are you kidding me? They can't lose that game. See, we were just saying they got a chance to get to the NCAA tournament. See, that's the type of thing right there. That you just can't lose a 20-point lead. I mean, you just can't.
No.
But that's the year. That's the lead.
You can't lose that.
Tony.
You can't lose that. But I'm a guy that won at the Tad Pad, which is now the Pavilion. I won at the Tad Pad. And, you know, I know how to win at Ole Miss. But, let's get back to Tony. As we depart, I look forward to the Tuesday show. Hopefully we're celebrating a Tennessee big win. Rick Barnes and his staff, they have to, you know, look at this game, take away the positive, and learn from the negative. And, you know, just come in. Watch film on Sunday. Don't put any taxation on their legs. No running, no practicing. Let them off on Sunday. Get back at it on Monday. Have a nice spirited practice before you board that charter flight to Lexington. And, come with a focus and a determination that we're going to do something special because we know we can beat this team because we've done it already. We have the ingredients to do it. And let's come in, play focused, dedicated, hard-nosed basketball for 40 minutes. And let's do something special that the fans of Knoxville will remember for a lifetime.
Tony, on the way out, I absolutely love you, and my best to you and your family. Give everybody a hug. Have yourself a great Saturday night. Thank you for your input, and tell the living listener who presented you tonight on the Smart Way Garza Law Firm Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Well, you know, first and foremost, I'd like to get dedicated to my best friend in life. Secondly, I am sponsored by the Knoxville Basketball Academy. It's a division of H3 Sports. We do great things. We do great things with the community.
Yep.
Also sponsored by Roar Sports Drink, the drink of tomorrow.
Look for it. Look for Roar. Roar is coming to a store near you.
It's coming to a store near you.
Roar in the store.
And by the alley where I'm at right now. The alley sports.
Oh, no wonder you're distracted.
Grill and restaurant.
Hey,
on Kingston Pike. Thank you, Tony B. Appreciate you, buddy.
Tone on the way out. Thanks, man. Appreciate you, babe.
Yeah.
The great Tony Jones. Unbelievable. And till we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, thank you for your time and appreciate you being there. And look at Auburn. Auburn went from red hot to facing defeat. The game's crazy. There are three very good teams, pretty good. Two very good, one pretty good. Kentucky's pretty good. The other two are very good. And that's it. And then the rest of the league is just a bunch of whatever it is. And Tennessee's kind of in the... Tennessee could get into the upper division in the league. That's kind of where things are. If they play well. Finish fourth, maybe. Maybe fifth. I don't know. We'll see. Till we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, thank you to Bino for joining. Thank you to Mark Griffin. Thank you to Tony Jones. Thank you to you for being there with us at TonyBasilio.com. And on our free app, and all I ask is that you please spread the word if you get the opportunity. Tell a couple people about what we do. It's a one of a kind, a basketball post-game show. There aren't many of these, and in fact, there are none that have the level of discourse that we just had. So We appreciate your time. We'll get them next time. We'll talk to you Monday from 11 to 1. Please check out my blog at tonybasilio.com. The Throat will be back with some thoughts on that. And hopefully this Eve Pons guy will fall for Tennessee and get some shooting in here for next year. And this team is a score short heading into next season. So till we meet again, for all those behind the scenes, I hope you have a great night. Be blessed. And we'll talk to you, God willing, on the answer line. I want the kid that's on hold to know I've got your number there, dude. So I don't think I'd call again if I were you. I wouldn't mess with me if I were you. I'm just gonna nicely tell you that. I'll turn you over to the authorities, man. I'll get you for harassment. I don't play with stuff like that. I don't harass people, and you ain't harassing me. Just so you know, brother. Just so you know. I'm not, hey, let me tell you something, kid. I'm not one of these snowflakes, okay? You pick a fight with me, I'll finish it. I can promise you. That reminds me of a couple things I could get into right now, but I'm not going to. Well, we've got the crank callers finding us, Laura. That's a good sign, isn't it? Got the crank callers finding us. Hello, who's this? Yeah, who's this? Huh? I've got your number. You know that, right? I have your number. Yes, I do. No, brother. See, I'm the one that has the cards here. We're gonna play. Me and you are gonna play a little game, okay? You ready? You ready for this game? You ready for this game? You don't call. Don't do that to me anymore. Okay. Yeah. You have yourself a good night. You better not call me again. No, you listen to me. You listen to me. You use the N word on my time. You think you're funny? I'll beat the hell out of you, kid. I'll beat the hell out of you. I dare you to come to one of my remotes and say that to my face. I'll beat your snowflake ass. Yeah. You have a good night.